Dear Saints, what are you giving up for Lent? Chocolate? Alcohol? Swearing? Texting while driving? Wasting money? Red meat? Yelling? Fast food? Driving somewhere where you can walk? Pretty hard to do around here. These are all things that people might give up for Lent. Maybe someone has even asked you, oh, what are you giving up for Lent? Maybe you have a tradition of giving something up, but why? What's the point? Now, most likely, the idea comes from the spiritual practice of fasting during Lent. Perhaps we give up something as a sign of our penitence or our repentance toward God. This can be a very good spiritual discipline. Fasting is something we have sort of lost in the church, but perhaps giving up something for Lent follows that same idea. On the other hand, I've heard people in other church bodies mock those who give up something for Lent, saying, oh, you're just giving up something that's a sin, which you shouldn't be doing anyway. Well, if that's true, then perhaps the practice is being used the wrong way. Another issue I see is that a lot of people like to talk about what they're giving up for Lent, which I find rather ironic, since the Ash Wednesday gospel lesson says this, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The point of fasting or of giving something up for Lent, if you choose to do so, is to remind you that Jesus gave up everything for you when he died on the cross. It is not to boast about how good you are or what a good Christian you are to the rest of the world. Our text for this Sunday also talks about giving something up. But the demands that Jesus makes of us in this lesson go way beyond abstaining from chocolate or red meat. They go way beyond even giving up sinning, as if that were possible. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Deny yourself. Give up yourself. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Not just give up something, but give up everything and go the way of the cross. Earlier in the gospel lesson, we heard that Peter wasn't particularly interested in bearing his crosses and certainly didn't want Jesus to do it. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" "You are the Christ," said Peter. That's the right answer. But then Jesus tells Peter and the others that he, Jesus, will be betrayed into the hands of the scribes and Pharisees, that he will suffer, that he will die. And Peter says, "No way. No denying yourself, Jesus. No cross-bearing for you. This will never happen to you." That's the wrong answer. Peter had Jesus sort of half right. He was the promised Messiah. He was the Son of God. He was the one promised in the Old Testament to redeem his people Israel. But the Messiah had to die. And Peter didn't want the cross part of Jesus. He just wanted the fun part, the cool part, the good part, the Jesus is all powerful part, the miracles part. That's the part we like too. We rightly confess Jesus as Lord and God. But does that confession involve sacrifice on our part? Often we want the good part of being Christians. We like to have fellowship with other people, kind of like a club. We like to have potlucks. I love potlucks. Maybe our church helps us network to find a good job. Maybe someone in church can help us out with something at home, or maybe someone in church has a good stock tip. We get to be part of a community. That's nice. But when it comes to sacrifice, when it comes to putting others ahead of ourselves, when it comes to standing up for what is right, When it comes to suffering for the faith, that's when things get a little more complicated. We'd usually rather not have that part of it. We'd rather not hear what Paul says to us in our epistle lesson. He says, "We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Instead, our Christianity often becomes too much like, 'Look at what I'm giving up for Lent.' We puff ourselves up with our knowledge of Christ. 'Hey, I got it right. I'm a Christian.' And we forget that God doesn't want anyone to perish, but wants all to repent. I'm not saying that confessing who God is isn't a good thing. It has to be done. No, it is of the utmost importance. But if we speak and then we, like Peter, reject all that comes along with that confession, our confession is empty. Because Jesus is the Christ, he denied himself. He took up his cross. He allowed himself to be killed. All along this had been prophesied. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not, writes Isaiah. Jesus is strong because he became weak for you. He defeated death by dying. Logic that seems crazy to our unbelieving world, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. What exactly is Jesus asking us here? What are we to do to deny ourselves and take up our cross? Well, denial of the self is really a plea from Jesus for repentance. To deny ourselves is to admit that what we want isn't always what God wants. To deny ourselves is to admit that we have done things to please ourselves at the expense of others. To deny ourselves is to recognize that our will and our thoughts are not God's thoughts, and our ways are not his ways, and to repent. Lent is a season of repentance. Our entire lives are to be lives of repentance, a constant returning to God, saying, "Not my will, but thy will be done. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." Not only are we to deny ourselves, but we're to take up a cross. To take up our crosses, that sounds worse than denying ourselves. The cross killed Christ, but after 3 days, he rose again. Our crosses, placed on us by God, are bearable because he bore the cross first. The suffering of this life, as St. Paul tells us, produces hope. Our connection to Christ in cross-bearing leads not to our ultimate death, but to eternal life. The gospel invitation to follow Jesus is simply Jesus calling us to faith, to trust in him, to trust in his promises, to trust in him alone, even in the midst of suffering. We trust Christ even when our lives look bleak, even when we are ridiculed for our faith, even when nothing seems to be going right, even as we're mourning and sorrowful. We follow Jesus to the cross because we follow him then to his empty tomb. Being a disciple of Christ means that our lives are bound together with his by virtue of our baptisms. The death he died, we died in our baptism. We were also raised in our baptisms to new life in him. His resurrection will become our resurrection. That's what it means to follow Jesus, to literally go on the same journey that he went on, but he went first, and we are joined to him in baptism. One of Martin Luther's great contributions to Christian thought was his clarity on the doctrine of what we call vocation. Now, a vocation is simply any responsibility that God has given you. We all have multiple vocations. Of course, your job is one. You may have the vocation of a parent or a friend, a church board member, a community leader, a son, a daughter, a brother, a sister, a volunteer. And God works through each of us through those various vocations to accomplish good for other people. But each of us also has another vocation, the calling as a Christian. We are light and salt in a dark and tasteless world. We are always ready to give an answer for the hope in Christ that we have in us. We are followers of Jesus, transformed by him as his people, and no longer followers of the evil of this world. We may even be called in this vocation to bear our crosses as we go about living our lives as Christians. We may be called to give up something for the good of another, not to make us more pleasing to God, not to earn his favor, but that is simply what being a Christian looks like, what it means to be followers of Christ. Now, you may or may not be giving up something for Lent, and you don't have to tell me, but as Christians, we do daily give up ourselves, daily give up our wants, our thoughts, our wills, deny ourselves, confessing our sinfulness to God. And daily, by faith, we follow Jesus as we return to his cross, as we remember our baptisms, as we are assured of the forgiveness of our sins. Daily, we take up our crosses with a certain hope that he will turn our suffering into joy in the resurrection of the dead. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.